This is my story, this is my song, praising my Saviour all the day long. Lord, we thank you that we can praise you. And as we come to look at your word, open our hearts and minds to be challenged, to be comforted in what it is you speak to us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to make a broad statement, and I wonder whether we agree or disagree with it. And the statement is this: we live in a broken and a hurting world. We live in a broken and a hurting world. It is a big statement to make because there is so much that is beautiful in our world. There is so much that is amazing in our world. There is so much that is good about our world. And yet, it's hard not to reach the conclusion, for whatever reason, that we live in a broken and a hurting world. There are many parts of our world that are at war, many hundreds and thousands of lives that are affected, that are lost every year. There are parts of our world that suffer terrible natural devastation, earthquakes, floods, disasters. They seem to be almost weekly on our news. Vast numbers of our world live in poverty and have little access to food, to healthcare, to education, to clean water, to basic housing. We live in a broken and we live in a hurting world. And in terms of a broken and hurting world, you only have to pick up the newspaper. You only have to turn on the news to see everyday proof of a broken and a hurting world. Dishonesty, fraud, murder, suicide, rape, greed, violence, and the list goes on and on. And it brings it home, doesn't it, when some of those that I've talked about reaches our own county, reaches our own community. My heart has been breaking all week. I'm sure like all of our hearts, it has been filled with shock. It's been filled with sadness. There's been a sense of heaviness around naturally this week at the tragedy in Castlerahan. And we wonder why. And yet that doesn't change the story, does it? And as we will do later in the service, we take time very specifically to pray for those who have been affected, to pray for those who have been bereaved, to pray for those who have been devastated, the results of a broken and a hurting world. And then if we couple this with all our own lives and all our own stories, the ups and downs that is part of everyday life, the pain and suffering, and then I think it is fair to say that we live in a broken and a hurting world. And as I make this conclusion, I guess there is a number of relevant questions that come to mind. The first broad question is, why is our world broken and hurting? Why is our world broken and hurting? Why is there suffering and pain in our world? What's gone wrong with our world? Surely this is not the way our world is meant to be. As a Christian who believes in a creator God, as a Christian who believes in a loving God, I guess the challenge that comes to my faith, and by the way, it's not wrong to ask hard questions, but the challenge that comes to us is God competent in our world? Why does God allow these things to happen in our world? Is God fair? Does God even care about our world? Big questions, honest questions, challenging questions. Today we are going to begin a new sermon series. It's one that I've thought about doing for a while, but I've always kind of shied away from it, sensing maybe the time wasn't right. And that is a journey through the book of Revelation. And I guess my reluctance has always been that it's one of those books in the Bible that is hard to access. It's hard to kind of break in. It's filled with all sorts of strange images and all sorts of imagery that is hard for us to understand. So in some ways, I've kind of been trying to avoid it. And yet in other ways, when we talk about a world that is broken and hurting, that I think the book of Revelation has a lot to speak into the broken and hurting world, especially as the people of God. So the time feels right to open its pages, and as we do, I am confident that as we journey and battle through these pages of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible, that we will be rewarded, that we will be renewed in hope, assurance and confidence of God amidst a broken and a hurting world. So today I'm just going to simply give us a very quick overview, and then we'll jump into it in the coming weeks. So what is the book of Revelation about? Revelation means to reveal, to disclose, to unveil something. And if we turn to our weekly sheets or our pew Bibles, we will find what it is and who it is unveiling, who is revealing, who is disclosing something. Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants what must take place soon. So revelation is a message from God. God is revealing something. God is disclosing something. God is unveiling something. And he has chosen John to do that. What is it that God is unveiling? Well, in terms of literature, this is called apocalyptic literature. You may well have seen movies or things on TV that deal with the end times. Well, Revelation deals with the end of time. It's apocalyptic, and it reveals in part what will happen when Jesus returns for a second time, what the world will be like, what God's kingdom will be like. So it reminds us that truth comes from God, and it reminds us that God has a plan amidst a broken and a hurting world. And as we read on, we see, as I've said, that God communicates from the heavenly places via an angel that he sends to John, who testifies to everything that he sees, that it is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. This John is the same John who writes the Gospel of John. It's the same John who has been a disciple with Jesus, who has seen Jesus die, been resurrected, and ascended into heaven. At this stage, John is very elderly. This is written about maybe 60 years after Jesus has lived. And at this stage, he is a prisoner on the island of Patmos, a Greek island. And under a kind of vision, he writes the 22 chapters, as we know them, of Revelation. The first few chapters really are introductory. The next sort of 16 chapters reveal the future through many images and symbols. And then we get to the very end, which we will land on in a number of weeks. That gives us that hope, that gives us that assurance, that gives us that promise of a new land, a new kingdom, a new place, a new world, where we are told there will be no more pain, there will be no more tears, no more mourning, no more death. Why? Because the old things will have passed away. So as we look at our broken and hurting world, we are challenged to think about God's promises into the future. The purpose of this book is to give encouragement and hope for Christians then, and for Christians now, to continue with hope, watching for the return and the triumph and the victory of Jesus that will come with his second coming. And as we wrap today's passage up, its concluding words give us a challenge, give us a focus as to what attitude that we might bring to Revelation and to God's word in general. I wonder, did you notice in verse 3, the last of the verses, did you notice a word that was repeated twice? The word that you see there is the word blessed. Blessed is the one who reads. Blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. I guess the challenge for all of us as we engage with Revelation and God's word is, do we come with indifference? Do we come with low expectations of what we might find revealed in God's word? Or do we come with honest questions? Do we come with open hearts and open minds? Do we come to engage? Are we prepared to wrestle with what the book of Revelation may speak into a broken and a hurting world? And as we do, those words that John writes, I believe will come true for us. Blessed, blessed are those who hear, are those who read these words. So as we come to the book of Revelation, as we think about our broken and our hurting world, my prayer is that God's word might have something to speak to us and into that world today and in the weeks ahead. Let's pray and bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, my simple prayer for myself and for all of us is that amidst our broken and hurting world and lives, that we would find comfort and blessing, that we would find hope over these next number of weeks, that we will find a plan, that we will find a promise of victory and assurance to bring into our own lives, to bring into a broken and hurting world, to bring into those questions that we ask honestly today, why? And as we pray that prayer, that the very end of this passage would come to life for us. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written. So Lord, help us to come with great expectations of what this book, your word, might teach us and speak into our lives in these weeks ahead. And I pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.